This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Jared Smith will jump on the show. He's fading four quarterbacks in their season props. So we'll dive into that with Jared Smith coming up in just a little bit. We've had some win totals dished out here tonight on the program. Pro bettor Eddie Walls likes Utah State over 4.5 wins. We just chatted with Brett Ciancia last hour. He likes under 9.5 wins for Penn State and over 7.5 wins for Tennessee. His champion is Oregon, by the way. So we've heard a couple people with their champion be Oregon. Stanford Steve gave me his champion. It is Notre Dame.
Wow. Was he pandering to the host?
I don't think he was.
No?
No, I don't think he was.
He knew that was going to make you happy?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm like too optimistic about Notre Dame, so I'm sure it's going to come all crashing down. We had Brett McMurphy kind of put some water on the fire a little bit yesterday, reminding me of the disastrous 1994 season after 1993. Started at number four and went 6-4-1. Matt, do you remember who Notre Dame played in the Fiesta Bowl in 1994?
West Virginia?
They played Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Rashan Salaam ran for, I think, 10,000 yards. It might be a little bit under that, but
Was that the year he won the Heisman?
Was that year he won the Heisman? I believe it was 41-24, and it wasn't that close.
Was that 94?
94. Might have been January 1 of 95.
I was actually covering the Bears. I was a beat writer covering the Chicago Bears when they drafted Rashan Salaam.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, quick updates. Speaking of the Chicago area, Matt, the Chicago White Sox leading 3-2 right now in the bottom of the sixth inning. Nico Hoerner at the plate for the for the Cubs, lines a single to center, and the Cubs have got something going here with men on first and second with one out in the bottom of the sixth inning. Live number right now, Matt, on this contest sits with the Chicago Cubs as a ever so slight favorite right now. Actually, just flip back to the White Sox. So we'll just call it a pick 'em right now at DraftKings. White Sox -108, Cubs -106, but a 3-2 game, Matt. Another really good one between the White Sox and Cubs tonight.
What'd you expect, Tim? You knew it was going to be a good one tonight.
Game of the night, baby.
It's going to be very difficult. Not going to top what happened Monday night at Wrigley Field, but White Sox trying to get a win on the board tonight, and this is cool when you have Chicago connections, because very rarely have the White Sox and the Cubs played meaningful games in the month of August, especially against each other. But that's what you've got right now, and hopefully the White Sox can do enough to win the division, get to the playoffs, and make our buddy Sammy P happy. Sam Panayotovich now at Fox 32 in Chicago, and he's got the White Sox at 40-1 odds to win the division, right? It's hard to believe that number got that high, but it did. Actually, I think the number got higher at some spots.
Yeah, I've got, I wish I had 40-1. I just have over their win total. So we could get there this week, over 66.5 wins, which will be good to offset the loss with the Nationals, because they are going to go over their win total, even though they're not there yet. Matt, how about this from ESPN Insights? Pete Crow Armstrong is the first player in MLB history with multiple leadoff home runs and a walk-off homer in a two-game span. So it's a little history at Wrigley tonight with PCA -165 to win NL MVP right now. Shohei Ohtani does have a homer tonight as the Dodgers lead, I believe 6-3 is the score right now in Colorado, as the Dodgers lead that one 6-3. Kyle Tucker, I mentioned, it was a miracle. RBI double for Kyle Tucker, and then Teoscar Hernandez RBI double as well. 6-3 the score right now in Colorado. Dodgers with the lead there. Brewers are going to keep their 4.5-game lead in the division. Maybe it'll increase if the Cubs end up losing. They lead 11-0 right now. And Matt, one out. Oh, no, that's the top of the ninth. But 5-2 is the score right now. Padres leading the Mets. Padres are right now in the third spot in the NL wild card. Mm. Also, Diamondbacks are going to lose tonight. They trail 9-4, so the Padres' lead in the NL wild card will increase tonight, barring something disastrous happening in the ninth inning here for the San Diego Padres.
Let's talk some college football, Tim.
So Matt, do you like talking college football?
I do like talking college football. We've done a bunch of it tonight. And how many days until week zero kicks off?
We are 11 days away, Matt.
That's great.
11 days away. By the way, a week from tomorrow, Matt Newman's and I will have a different backdrop behind us here on VSiN Primetime. We're going to do 4 hours, all college football, a VSiN Primetime college football special live from Honolulu. Same location as last year, the Sheraton Waikiki. Matt, I believe you called that the best backdrop in the history of VSiN last year when we were out there.
Look, we have a great backdrop now. It's we have the best sports book in the world behind us, but when you have the beach and Waikiki behind you, it's tough to top that. That was the best backdrop. By the way, we're going to be on the air next Tuesday night with this show?
Wednesday night. We fly out. We're going to go to practice.
I thought you said
Tuesday.
Week from tonight.
So. A week from tomorrow. I beg your pardon. Yeah, a week from tomorrow. So 8 days away from our trip out to Honolulu. Hawaii did not make our countdown. Or I don't know. I can't speak for you. Did not make my countdown. But Indiana did. Haven't gotten to that Indiana game yet on my countdown. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk this offseason about Notre Dame, Oregon, Texas, these teams that could win the national title. What about Indiana? Where do you... You have them in your power ratings. We'll get to that here in a moment. But I had ESPN's Stanford Steve, our buddy on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast this week, episode out now. And this is what he had to say about Indiana. He's believing in the Hoosiers in 2026.
Indiana's going to have a run game. That's the quarterback's best friend.
Yep.
You know, Pons is probably the guy I worry about missing the most because of what a game changer he was and how he had – you know, that little man attitude that just you weren't going to beat me and I was going to be the baddest dude on the field. But you still have experience on the back end there. So I think Haynes is, if not the best, right up there as far as defense coordinator because of the approach they take. It just really makes sense every time I see them. And his ability to adapt and change because he wants to attack. He wants to be on the other side of the line of scrimmage. And I look at that depth on the defensive, every single coach, Tim, in the sport, if you ask them what they would want more of, it's depth on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to roll eight guys in. Indiana's as deep as anything, and I think their special teams are going to be awesome. So I don't see them losing much. Like if things go accordingly, you know, Cooper and Surratt, I mean, Cooper went in the first round. Nick Marsh is a better talent. He's a better talent. He really is. So, you know, you saw the deal with the gold shoes. I think Hoover is set up like big time. And I'm not going to fuss about – I love their running backs. I'm not going to – that's another reason why I don't have Notre Dame dropping off. Like, I'm not going to worry about who's playing running back at Notre Dame. Like, it's going to be fine. Like, they're going to be all right. So – I look at what Indiana lost, and there's a lot there. I mean, you look at the NFL draft, there's a lot. But they replaced them with guys you want in those spots, and combined with the experience and talent level and not losing coordinators, man. Like him going in the bag and paying his coordinators, I think says a lot. And they have a way of doing things.
Stanford Steve, more on Indiana on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. He did, as I mentioned, have Notre Dame 1, Indiana 2. So does not expect too much of a drop-off. I believe he said he had Ohio State 3 and Oregon 4. Indiana, as he mentioned, 8 players drafted off of their roster a year ago.
I mentioned that on the show last night. It's a lot of NFL talent for an Indiana program to lose, and I've got Indiana power rated number 6. Might be a little bit too low. I've got as much faith in Kurt Cignetti as anybody, and I have for the last couple of years. I wonder about the quarterback. Not a big Josh Hoover fan, but again, Cignetti, if he sees something in Hoover, who are we to question it, right? This guy obviously knows how to evaluate talent. I thought what Stanford Steve said there, and for those who don't know, his real name is Steve Coughlin.
Yep.
We've had him in the Friday Football Invitational in the past. Great to see that you had him on the show. I always like to hear his college football insights. I was talking with somebody at the Westgate Superbook a couple days ago, and a guy says, I don't know about Notre Dame. They lost those two running backs. That's a lot to lose. I said, look, man, Notre Dame's going to be able to replace those running backs. They're going to be just fine. Running backs are replaceable. Receivers are replaceable. The thing is, Notre Dame – have a dominant defense. They got a quarterback with more experience now. Don't focus too much on the running backs, even though both those guys were drafted in the first round. You know Aeneas Williams. You know the talent Irish
made plays in the playoff just 2 years ago.
They're going to be fine at the running back position. If that's your main argument against Notre Dame, you better look for something else.
My biggest concern with Notre Dame is the depth at the wide receiver position, but also sneaky lack of depth at the on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Everyone keeps putting Charles Jagasaw in like preseason, you know, top, you know, All-American list. He's not probably going to play this year. He has sustained a brutal arm injury. He's had multiple surgeries. I don't think we see Charles Jagasaw all year. They just lost Matty Augustine for a decent amount of time, who's kind of their sixth offensive lineman. The five is very good, but as Steve said, depth is so important these days. And the big thing about Indiana this year, they added depth that they didn't think they were going to have, right? Steven Daly back, Kellen Wyatt back on the defensive line, and they brought in some big pieces during the portal. So good stuff there from Stanford Steve. Make sure you check it out. Also, we had a little fun. Van Pelt does a segment every Thursday night where he gives out his plays. He calls it winners. Yeah. He always likes to play underdogs.
Yeah. He plays a lot of dogs.
So me and Stanford Steve predicted what will be on the week one winners card. So we had a little fun with that. My number one selection, I said there's absolutely no doubt that Louisville plus 6.5 will be on Pelt's card as they take on Ole Miss.
I believe that too.
Stanford Steve's number one pick was Florida State plus 1.5 against SMU.
Huh?
Florida State, week one, SMU.
Oh, week one. Yeah, I thought you were talking about week zero. Okay. Did you guess week zero?
Well, he doesn't. He probably won't do week zero. Okay. I knew that North Carolina probably would be on there, though. That one might be a little risky. Talk to Jared Smith. He's fading, Matt, four quarterbacks in their season-long player props. We'll dive into that with Jared next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's gone final at Citi Field as the San Diego Padres, thanks in large part to Fernando Tatis' amazing night. Two homers and a robbed grand slam. Padres win 5-2 as they remain a game back of the Philadelphia Phillies for the second wild card spot, and they do remain ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks. As the Arizona Diamondbacks, that game has gone final. Red Sox win tonight, Matt, 9-4. Our primetime game of the night taking place at Wrigley Field right now. Chicago White Sox have a 3-2 lead over the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, and look who's at the plate for the White Sox. Munetaka Murakami hit a shot off the scoreboard earlier, and let's see what he can do here. Runner on first with one out. White Sox up 3-2, top of the seventh.
Pete Crow Armstrong already homered in this game as well. Shohei Ohtani also homered in Colorado tonight. PCA at FanDuel right now, minus 165 to win NL MVP. All right, let's head to our progressive guest line. Jared Smith of Fox Sports Radio is going to be joining us all throughout the football season in this time slot. And really curious your angles today. So we've been talking a lot of college football with you throughout the past couple of weeks. We're going to pivot to the NFL and some season-long player props, which might be a little helpful for us, Matt, as we have our NFL draft coming up on Thursday. But let's start about Cam Ward, year two for Cam down in Tennessee. Looking at his passing number here, it's sitting at 3,300. What are you looking at with Cam Ward in that season-long passing prop, Jared?
Tim, Matt, great to be back. Very excited to be with you for football season. Should be a really fun campaign. So I'm all about process and you know, getting up to speed. And with Cam Ward, I think that's been a struggle. So this is going to be his seventh play caller in the last 6 years and his second consecutive NFL offseason where he's had to go through a new scheme. You go back to Incarnate Word in 2021, he had a new OC every single season. And last year with the Titans, he had two play callers in his ear. It was Brian Callahan the first three games he got fired, and then it was the quarterback's coach, Bo Hartigreen, who took over for the rest of the season. Now it's Brian Daboll, and you would think, okay, Daboll should be able to get the most out of Ward, and I do think there is some upside there, but I think a lot of Ward's ceiling this year will be tied to how well Carnell Tate gets up to speed, and I just doubt rookie receivers having ceiling seasons in their first year. So if that's what it's going to take for Carnell Ward to get over this number, in addition to the fact that he's playing behind a top five offensive line, or excuse me, a bottom five offensive line, I just don't see a ton of upside. And I wouldn't be shocked. I know Trubisky's got a little bit of an injury now, but I wouldn't be shocked if Ward struggles at any point in the first half of the year. They go to Trubisky or even Will Levis, who, of course, both of those guys have plenty of starting experience in the NFL. And Robert Saleh, you would imagine, first-year head coach, defensive mind, going to be a conservative game plan. So I just thought there was a ceiling on Ward this year. And with 65% of the passing yard, season-long passing yard prop for quarterbacks staying under, I always look under in this market first.
Jared Smith with us. All right, let's talk about Jordan Love and the Packers. And Jared, Packers lost their final four games last season. They bowed out against the Bears in the playoffs. Pretty embarrassing the way the Packers lost those games to the Bears at the end of the year. And I really wasn't that impressed with the way Jordan Love played. You're going to play Jordan Love under 3,549 and a half passing yards.
Yeah, Matt, it's another situation where I always go into every quarterback, every starting quarterback that has a number posted, and I always look for reasons to bet the under. And if it really aligns, if, you know, a few key boxes get checked, then it's almost an autoplay for me. First of all is the offensive line, and they suffered significant attrition along the offensive line. Rashid Walker and Elgin Jenkins are both gone. Most experts have it as a consensus bottom five unit, similar to the Titans this year. The projections for 17 games have Love sailing over that number, but he hasn't played in 17 games since 2023. So that's another out that you have when you're playing an under in a season-long player prop. And I saw a significant gap, one of the biggest in the NFL, when Love is kept clean compared to when he is pressured. And if I think Green Bay is going to have a bottom five offensive line this year, and I'm looking at his yards per attempt dropping to 30th in the NFL at just over 5 yards per attempt when pressured last year, it feels like a good spot to, again, fade a little bit of the noise. I know some people still are bullish on Love, and they do have some really nice weapons. And obviously they're a playoff team, a playoff caliber team. But I just saw enough in my handicap to go under with this one. And of course, the injury outs, you never want to bet on an injury or root for an injury. But you always have that in your back pocket. And with Love, it's certainly part of the equation.
You know, that's what I was going to ask you. How much does that factor into it? Because you're always one injury away from winning this bet, right? If he, say, sprains an ankle or something happens, he's out a month, you're going to win this bet.
Yeah, I think it maybe adds like another, you know, another star, like another check, where if a guy has had injury issues in the past, it absolutely, especially at the quarterback position where these guys are, I would say, relatively fragile these days because they just don't take a ton of hits. So if there's a guy that has a red flag in his injury ledger, it adds a ton of value to these season long bets. Again, Connor Allen's done a good job. Works. I'm sure you guys have had him on before. 4-for-4 Fantasy does a great job tracking all this stuff. The receivers and the quarterbacks, their unders for their season-long props have been over 60% historical hit rate over the last few years. He has the exact time horizon, but it's a pretty wide sample. So to me, if you're getting these guys and, you know, DraftKings is offering them a lot of them at minus 110, minus 120, you're not having to pay a ton of vig for it. I just think there's a lot of value out there, and it's not a sexy bet. You don't want to bet under. You want to root for something, as is the case. But I think the sexier side is being ahead of the game by thousands of yards starting the year and having that quarterback have to catch you. And any slip up with an injury or a bad stretch, and you're in pretty good shape.
All right. Now, on the heels of that, how about Lamar Jackson? He played in 13 games last season, rushed for about 350 yards. You're going to play his rushing total under.
Yeah, a little bit of a different handicap here. Obviously not, you know, a passing yards prop, so you're not getting as much leash. Where Lamar Jackson, you know, theoretically speaking, you know, the bear case for this under is he has one crazy game where he just goes off for 150 or something. He breaks a couple of long runs, right, and that puts you in a really tough spot. But if he doesn't have one of those explosive games, he has to be pretty consistent with this prop where he's churning out 50 to 60 yards per game, and he can't miss a game either. And that's something that he has not done a lot of recently since his MVP season. He has missed time. In fact, he's missed time in almost every year other than the two MVP years. So I think last year, 13 games, 350 yards, like even in a, again, 13 out of 17 games played, he still didn't even get within 200 yards of this number, Matt. So I feel like I've got a lot of leash here. His career high mark was 915. That was the MVP year a couple years ago. So I think there's not a lot of upside when it comes to a guy that I think is on the downside of his running career and is probably, especially with a new offensive coordinator in check, I'm assuming they're going to try to get the passing game going with him.
Looking at season-long player props with Jared Smith. Follow him on Twitter, at Jared Smith Bets. Also check him out on Fox Sports Radio and the Morning After podcast as well. So we've gone under Cam Ward passing, under Jordan Love passing, under Lamar Jackson rushing. And now we get to Tyler Shuck, first year as a full-time starter down there in New Orleans. Tough news for him earlier this week with Jordan Tyson now being sidelined for at least 2 months with that hamstring injury. Jared, right now we're looking at 34.49.5, so 3,449.5 passing yards. Will it be four unders for you tonight?
Just call me the Undertaker, right? Shout out to our guy Jim Rude, certainly has coined that phrase over the years with his fantastic handicapping of college basketball totals staying under. So I wrote this up for my, all of my people, all my sites, everything earlier in the week before the Tyson injury, but this was a line directly from the write-up of this handicap. A lot of his upside will be tied to the health of first rounder Jordan Tyson, who is already fighting injuries in camp. It's similar to the Cam Ward thing with Carnell Tate. If you're relying on a rookie receiver to be the reason why you're going to go over a total, and to have that ceiling be tied to a rookie receiver, I just think it's a risky venture. And now we're seeing Olave is also nicked up, and that's a guy that's also has struggled to stay healthy for significant portions of his career. I understand why the market likes Tyler Shuck. It looked pretty good down the stretch of last year, but it was a lot of garbage time, and it was against a really weak schedule. And and how he's being lined amongst the same, listen to some of the quarterbacks that he's being compared to in the same tier as him in terms of his passing yardage prop. Josh Allen, 36-24, Mahomes, 36-49, Caleb, 36-49, CJ Stroud, 35-49. I'm sorry, but Tyler Shuck's not within 200 yards of those four guys yet. He's not at that point. He's not about that life at this stage of his career, maybe in a couple years. But he's another guy that, again, late, in terms of his age and making it to the NFL because of injuries, because of some, twists and turns along the way with his career. He's also been sack prone. Over 8% of his dropbacks last year resulted in a sack, and that was 28th in the NFL. So just a lot of outs here. Could be injury, could be, a bit of a downswing from production. But I certainly think Shuck is in prime contention to be an under on the season.
Jared, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the insight.
Yep. Have a good one, guys.
There he is, our guy Jared Smith. Hey, just a reminder, maybe we'll play some of those bets when we have our Pro Football Futures Draft this Thursday starting at 5 p.m. Eastern. 10 hosts and a couple special friends. Check it out Thursday, August 20th.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Matt, I told you before the show, I said I really like the Brewers tonight. I'm thinking about laying 21.5 runs. You were like, you're crazy.
I thought you said 2.5.
No, 21.5, Matt. I said, this thing's going to be a blowout. 22-0 right now, the Brewers leading the Mariners. Now, the Mariners have put in a position player to pitch, and Victor Robles just made an over-the-shoulder Willie Mays catch there to make it end the inning. More competitive game. Just about an hour, what would you say, hour and a half south of Milwaukee? Hour 15 in Chicago, Wrigley Field?
Yeah, that's about right. And 22-0 looks like it's probably going to be the final score in Milwaukee tonight. 22-0. White Sox trying to hold on to a 3-2 lead.
Right now, as we sit here, the White Sox, they just got out of a pretty – are they out of it yet? The jam was pretty tricky there for
– there's two runners on and one out.
Okay, so it was – it was two on, no outs, and PCA, I believe, just – did he strike out there? Did the human home run strike out? Seiya Suzuki now at the plate. So
yeah, I'm not sold on PCA as MVP after that at bat. I don't know, Tim. You might have to drop that line about 10 or 15 cents. Game on the line. He couldn't get it done.
What a bum. Yeah. Just hit a walk-off last night. Pete Crow Armstrong minus 165 to win NL MVP. All right, a couple things, Matt. We were just talking to Jared Smith, and he likes Tyler Shuck to go under his passing yards. Matt, I want to play a little clip as we get some of these joint practices going on. Isn't it fun to see some fighting? And we had a little bit of a fight. Let's rate the fight that we saw between the Cowboys and the Saints today. Here we go. A little pushing and shoving. Ooh. This is a good fight, bad fight. Let's see. Trying to break it up. Rate the fight between the Saints and the Cowboys.
It's a scrum. Actually, at the beginning there, you had the Cowboys player holding on to the Saints player's face mask, which is that's a dirty tactic in a fight. You can't grab a guy's face mask, try to swing his head around. Cowboys pretty impressive in their preseason opener, more importantly in Seattle over the weekend. And I was talking about this on the show this morning with Super Dave and Jensen.
Oh, gosh.
Does it worry you, Dave Ross, that the Dallas Cowboys have become kind of a chic pick with a lot of people? I remember when I was on their show in June, I said, before the VSiN NFL betting guide came out, I said, I hate to say this, but there's a lot I like about the Cowboys this season. And defensively, I think Dallas is going to be much improved. Now, as we get into August, we're hearing more and more pro-Cowboys opinions, and I'm starting to believe the Cowboys are becoming too popular at this point.
I'm sure Dave disagreed vehemently.
No, he said he's concerned that the Cowboys are becoming too popular. Yeah, he did.
What did Sam Munson regarding the Cowboys? He said the Cowboys and Bengals are kind of in the same bucket. Their defense doesn't have to be good, just has to not stink because the offense should be so good for both
teams. I would agree with
that
in general. I think if the Dallas defense ranks anywhere around middle of the pack, right, around 15th, 16th in the league, that's a huge, huge upgrade. Do you realize Dallas finished 30th in the league in yards allowed per game last season and 32nd in scoring? Last in scoring defense were the Dallas Cowboys. Cubs, by the way, just tied the game at 3.
Wow.
And the Dallas defense at the bottom of the barrel last season. So if that defense with a new coordinator, Christian Parker, who I think is promising, a lot of new personnel. Cowboys got 6 or 7, I think, impact players who are going to be new on that defense. If that's just a, let's say, 15th, 16th, middle of the pack rated defense, that gives the Cowboys an opportunity to win a lot more games. I would say the same thing about the Bengals in general, right? If the Bengals have this pretty respectable defense out there, they're going to have to a really good chance to win that division.
Alex Bregman, the man who comes through with the RBI single here with 2 outs in the bottom of the 7th, got a tie ball game at Wrigley Field right now between the White Sox and the Cubs. The Cubs doing what they did last night, letting the lead slip away and then coming back. Right now, the Cubs minus 175 favorites in this game in the bottom of the 7th inning. Looks like our game of the night is going to, once again, be a pretty good one. Speaking of games of the night or games of the year, Matt, you and I throughout this show have been running through our favorite games. Whoa, what a play at second base. Wow, that was remarkable to save a run from scoring a full out extension right there, keeping this game tied at 3. Chase Meredith. What a play, man.
With the dive, and he jumps to his feet, throws a runner out at first, end of 7, 3-3 at Wrigley.
All right, so Matt, we have worked our way through 10 through 6. Recapping mine real quickly, I've got number 10, Oregon at USC. Number 9, Oklahoma at Georgia. Number 8, Notre Dame at BYU. Oklahoma, Texas, Red River in Dallas. Number 6, Georgia and Alabama. And coming in at number 5, Oregon visiting Ohio State. Number 1 versus number 2 is number 5. It was number 6 for you.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
Once again, just puts into perspective how loaded this college football season is with some of the games. Oregon visiting Ohio State. And I was looking at my list here, Matt, and I'm like, wow, I got a lot of Ohio State games coming up here in the top 5. So this game of the year line, Ohio State, November 7th, same day as Notre Dame, Miami, same day as BYU, Utah, same day as LSU, Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State, November 7th, one of the most loaded days of the schedule, and I've got Oregon, Ohio State, number 5.
Speaking of the VSiN NFL Futures Draft on Thursday, this is Dustin Sweetelson's favorite part of the show where we spend a lot of time recapping the picks.
Inside joke there.
Let's get to my top 10. We get down to number 5. Tim, you want to recap the picks I've got in the top 10?
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's get down to number 5, and I need you to put the graphic up because I don't remember what number 5 was. How about Ohio State at Indiana? You said the Buckeyes are on several big games on your list. That's the second time I've had Ohio State on the list. And how can you not have Ohio State at Indiana in the top 5, October 17th? And Buckeyes came up short against the Hoosiers in the Big Ten championship game, and they will have revenge in mind when they go to Bloomington in the middle of October. That's going to be a great game.
True pick'em right now. If you go over to DraftKings, their game of the year line, Matt, -110 both ways.
What do you think that'll be by October 17th? Ohio State a slight favorite?
I would say Ohio State -1.5.
Ohio State's got a brutal schedule.
They do. Well, Matt, will they survive my number 4 game of the upcoming season? Because I have number 4, Ohio State at Texas.
Wow, that's number 4.
September 12th, Ohio State at Texas. The rematch of last year's game that opened up the season, an underwhelming game, both from a point total standpoint, underwhelming and just was not pretty. I fully anticipate this game to be much better, but yeah. Once again, this year is loaded, man. So I put Ohio State, Texas there at number 4, September 12th, prime time down in Austin, Texas. Right now, game of the year line has the Texas Longhorns as a 1.5-point favorite.
I can see where your list is headed. I know what you're going to have number 1 now. All right, why don't you go ahead and do number 3. Go ahead and do your
number. You want me to do number 3?
Do your number 3, and then I'll do 2. Go
ahead. All right, my number 3. Ohio State at Indiana. 3 straight Ohio State games. Number 5, Oregon, Ohio State. Number 4, Ohio State at Texas. And number 3, the rematch of last year's Big Ten championship game in Bloomington. This will be the biggest game in the history of that stadium, Matt. That is going to be a remarkable atmosphere. October 17th. I think it's going to be big noon kickoff, which kind of stinks. But Ohio State, Indiana, that is number 4 for you. It's number 3 for me. I've got 2 games left. What could they be, Matt? But you've got still to come number 4 on your list.
Yeah, I told Chris DeBear Felica when he was in town a couple weeks ago, the Fox is ruining some of these big games on Saturdays because you got the big noon kickoff with the early kickoff times, right?
Yep.
We prefer the marquee games to be at night, but the Fox big noon kickoff, obviously an early game. All right, let's get to my number 4 game.
Oh.
How about Notre Dame at BYU in Provo, October 17th, same day as Ohio State at Indiana? Tim, I assume you're going to be in Provo that day.
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. I love this matchup. In fact, I want to try to go to this game in Provo. This
tickets
is going to be
awesome.
Are
through the roof, like $2,000 a ticket already on the secondary.
Right, maybe
market.
I'll watch that game on TV. Can we get press passes for the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast?
Maybe. Huh? I know some people up there in Provo. I might be able to work it out. My guy Hans Olsen, the color analyst for BYU. Maybe we could hook us up with a press pass. So
let's do your Saturday show from Provo that day.
I wouldn't mind that at all. Okay. That would be pretty fun. You know any people up in Provo?
I do.
All right. We'll start to figure it out. Speaking of college football, we've got our betting guide out right now. Matt put together his top 50, and he has BYU coming in as top 10. Speaking of a great game going on, how about White Sox and Cubs? I don't know if it's BYU Notre Dame, Matt, but it's 3-3 in the 8th.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
3-3, Matt. Top of the 8th inning, White Sox and Cubs. Will it finish while we're on the air? No, probably not. But fortunately for the people listening right now on SiriusXM channel 158 or watching with us on YouTube TV, Dustin Sweetelson cashing out coming up top of the hour. So always great to hear from Dustin. He got to watch a walk-off homer last night from PCA, and we have a man on first with 2 outs in the top of the 8th inning. White Sox and Cubs.
White Sox just had a deep drive to left center field, and PCA tracked it down on the warning track, so near miss there for the White Sox trying to take the lead. But they do get a single here with two outs.
Cubs minus 173 live, White Sox plus 150. Matt, we're getting near the conclusion of our top 10 games of the college football season. I have my top two. You've got your top three. But you just had BYU Notre Dame coming in at number four. And CJ Carr, I talked about it on this show 2 weeks ago. I made a bet on CJ Carr not to win the Heisman, but to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft. I bet it at plus 650 at DraftKings. Didn't see the market today. I was curious what the number's at. FanDuel has it at 4-1. Probably wouldn't bet it at 4-1, but if DraftKings reposts it soon, we'll see if it's at plus 650. Peter Schrager was on ESPN earlier today, and this is what he had to say regarding CJ Carr and the buzz he's been hearing around the NFL.
So I've got multiple people who are at the Manning Passing Academy, and all the top guys are always coming through there. And I always like to get a good litmus test of who was the guy. And apparently Carr blew everybody away at the Manning Passing Academy, not just on his play, but was like the Pied Piper, and everyone was following his lead. So I'm not a Notre Dame apologist. I'm not a Notre Dame. Like, I wasn't outraged when they didn't get in, all this stuff. But I will tell you, NFL teams have their eye on this guy, and he is probably not getting as much press as Arch Manning and Moore and some of the other quarterbacks. But CJ Carr might be the guy that we're talking about come January, February, March, April, NFL draft first overall. And that just shows the depth of this quarterback class.
Usually pretty piped in from the NFL with different sources, and CJ Carr apparently getting some buzz. You heard Todd McShay. He was down at the Manning Passing Academy gushing over CJ Carr. So plus 650 for him to be the number one pick was a bet that I did play. You know, earlier in the show we had on Eddie Walls, and he actually had a tweet that I thought made a lot of sense. I meant to bring it up to him. He said, with the weak schedule this year for Notre Dame, apparently, is CJ Carr going to be able to put up enough numbers to be the Heisman Trophy winner? Mm-hmm. I do have some concerns about that, because they have really a three-game schedule, essentially, with BYU October 17th, Miami November 7th, SMU November 21st.
I would call it a four-game schedule. I think the Wisconsin game in Green Bay is a legitimate game.
Yeah. 21-point favorites, but we'll see what Wisconsin brings to the table there. Colton Joseph, I do have some curiosity with him heading into the year, the transfer from Old Dominion.
All right. If you look at any team's schedule, you're going to find outside of Ohio State or Texas, who have Oklahoma, they have brutal schedules this year. You're going to find that most teams have four or five cupcake type of games that are easy wins on their schedule. I think this is being exaggerated a little bit about the Notre Dame schedule and how soft it is, because they've still got two big-time games, two top five of the season type of games against at BYU and home against Miami. Playing Wisconsin and Green Bay is a legit game, and SMU is a legit game. So I know there are some weak teams on the schedule, but look, Irish go to North Carolina. They're playing Syracuse on the road. They've got some other games on there. Michigan State on the road against Purdue. Obviously, those are going to be wins for Notre Dame, but I still think they're legitimate opponents. They're not playing East Tennessee State, the Citadel, you know, stuff like that. I think Notre Dame's schedule
put some respect on the Buccaneers and the Bulldogs, Matt. Come on now. All right, Matt, let's get back to our list. I don't know if Notre Dame at Purdue might be personally a high game for you. I don't know if it's going to be top three. So what is number three for Matt Eumanns in his college football most anticipated games of the year?
By the way, our game of the night is in a rain delay at Wrigley Field. How about that? The tarp is on the field. All right, number three for me. I will be at this game, and I can't wait. Wow. Halloween. Ohio State at USC. This is going to be a big-time game. Look, I realize USC is a fringe top 15 team right now, but when you're talking Ohio State-USC, I think the Trojans are going to be live dogs. They're going to be home dogs in that game.
Seven-and-a-half-point dog right now.
I would probably take the points with USC. I think this. I think by the time the smoke clears, there's a pretty good chance that USC is going to be inside the top 10. When we get to October 31st, and that's going to be a much bigger game maybe than it even looks like right now. But Ohio State-USC is about as good as it gets at the Coliseum in L.A. That's my number three game. I'll give you my number two game, Tim Murray. Miami at Notre Dame, I assume this is going to be number one on your list. Hurricanes-Irish rematch from last year. C.J. Carr, that was his first start on the road. And this time, I think Notre Dame gets revenge. What are the Irish right now? 6.5 or 7?
Yeah, 7-point favorites right now against Miami. So,
but really, when you talk about these top 5 or 6 games, you know, you can throw them
six
in a
and
hat.
A half. Excuse me.
Yeah, however you want to pull it out, pull these games out of a hat. All these games are awesome, right? Ohio State, Indiana, Notre Dame, BYU, Ohio State, USC, Miami, Notre Dame. I'll get to my number one game next. What's your number two game?
My number two game is going to surprise you, Matt, because it's the same number two game as you. Miami at Notre Dame. I will be there. I already have my tickets purchased, so it is not a BYU-Notre Dame situation where I'm looking to spend my 401k to go to Provo. Tickets already in hand. Miami-Notre Dame under the lights in South Bend. Can't wait for this one, but I am at heart a college football fan, and I think there's a game that's going to have more hype and anticipation, Matt, and that's a game that you left off your top 10.
Uh-huh.
Ole Miss hosting LSU, number one game I am most intrigued to see. September 19th, the hatred, the anger in the building that particular evening is going to be through the roof, even though there is no roof down there in Oxford, Mississippi. So yeah, a game you didn't even rank, Matt.
I'm done with Lane.
Number
Kiffin,
one for me, Ole Miss. And then I will bet Florida the following week to beat Ole Miss because that game is going to be so anticipated. Win or lose, I'll be on Florida. But my number one game, LSU at Ole Miss.
Yeah, for the record, LSU-Ole Miss is my number 11 game. If you want to watch a soap opera, tune in to The Young and the Restless in the afternoon on CBS.
They will play a football game. It's going to be played. Put it on damn mute. I don't care. You're going to watch that game.
I'm so sick of Lane Kiffin, I don't care. I'm just not going to rank that in my top 10. My number one game, Ohio State at Texas. And we get that early. We get that on September 12th. And I think this game's going to be much better than it was a year ago in Columbus. And I think that's a solid top 10 with no Lane Kiffin.
A Lane-free top 10. Man, just look at that. The games that we left off to this year, I know it doesn't get off to a bang. There's not a ton of highly anticipated week one games, but still, man, you look at the schedule this year, you know, games that we left off, well, you left off Lane, Alabama, LSU, November 7th, same day as Oregon, Ohio State. You know, Texas A&M doesn't make any of our lists. How about Indiana going out to Washington late in the season? Could be a really good one.
Well, one I thought about putting on there was UConn at Wyoming.
That's a big one. Thanksgiving weekend, Matt. Going to be huge.
I can't. Talk about an odd game on the schedule. UConn at Wyoming. Seriously.
A buddy of mine was like, I thought about going to it. He's like, it's probably going to be snowing. So, no, I'm not going to go to Laramie for Thanksgiving weekend.
That's an oddity on the college football schedule for sure. I will say that even though it didn't make my top 10, you and I personally would have some Hawaii football games. I think Hawaii's got a really, really good schedule this year.
Hawaii will be home against, at Stanford week zero.
You home against UNLV the next week.
Mm-hmm.
Also got home games against New Mexico, North Dakota State. Pretty good schedule.
Should be a fun time. Yeah. And just a reminder, 8 days from today, ladies and gentlemen, Matt and I will have the backdrop of the ocean behind us. We will be out in Honolulu for a special edition of VSiN Primetime Live from Honolulu. We will also do our Week Zero College Football Betting Podcast on Thursday, live from Honolulu as well. Not live from Honolulu, cashing out. That's going to be live from this very studio. Dustin Sweetelson will be joining us here in studio. Well, not us, because we're going home. Thanks to Jeff Sherman, Eddie Walls, Brett Ciancia, and Jared Smith for joining the show today. Thanks to Corey and our entire production team here at VSiN. For Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. As mentioned, Dustin Sweetelson with Cashing Out coming up next. At some point, they'll restart Cubs and White Sox currently in a rain delay. And then start your day with Super Dave and Jensen Lewis on VSiN by the Books.